Greetings, dear friends and listeners. This is Pastor Rex Cat, and what I'm not a missionary cybernaut exploring the internet. I'm co-producing The Reverend Is In for Reverend Bookburn, live from Volta Radio most Sunday nights at 9 o'clock to 11 or so Eastern Standard Time, USA, on Volta Radio.
And tonight the theme is Party and Orgy with Sarah Palin. I hope to stick around for that.
Oh, you bet. Anytime there's an orgy, I'm here.
Exactly, and this looks like it's going to be a good one. So, let's kick off the first set of tunes, and we're not playing nearly as many tunes as normal tonight because for obvious reasons. And this is a very special artist who I think Sarah would really appreciate. This is a track by Trash doing Party on Your Pussy.
Please, dear, show me. Here.
phone lines. I've got what it takes to make any of you pussies ache. I came all the way. Every night and every fucking day.
This is Deborah
and Keith
from the band Davey, and you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
not think about love. Don't think about candlelights, red roses, wedding bells, moonlight serenades, warm summer nights, table too.
I think about pure sex, deep sex.
Red, 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 red tried it just for once, found it alright for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks, and you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines, so your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You still keep a beat in your meat to pulp, and you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. You're kicking Sonova, you're no Joseph. It's a label of fucking yourself to death. Orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict.
Heard the Buzzcocks doing Orgasm Addict. Murphy's Law did Reefer Man. Before that, Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. Lords of Acid did Rough Sex from their Lust CD. Deborah and Keith from the band Davy did the Volta Radio Station ID and the Reverend is In promo, and started off with two tracks by Trash: Party on Your Pussy and Suck My Dick. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In, live on many Sunday nights at VoltaRadio.com. Updates always at ReverendBookburn.com, which is an auto redirect to RevBookburn.blogspot.com. And tonight we have a very special show, Party and Orgy, with Sarah Palin. And we're off for a long time. This is a super busy month, and we're off until 3 weeks from tonight, which means the next show is October 23rd, and that will be, of course, the annual Halloween show, a celebration of Halloween and weed. So on October 23rd, Halloween 2011. And as always, we expect that if there are no technical difficulties, to be preserving this show at Radio For All. You have to say that, I think. There's just too much shit that has happened. But if all goes well, technically speaking, we expect this show, like all the others, to be at Radio For All, radio4all.net. Thanks to the ever fantastic archivist, engineer, co-producer, book burner from afar, Pastor Rex Cat.
Yay, Pastor Rex Cat!
Who has also been preserving the shows by Lolo.
Wow, that makes it sound so important. Preserving.
Yes, permanently archiving at Radio For All. All three already done Lolo shows. Big, big shout out to Pastor Rex Cat. Let's see, any birthdays? Today is the birthday of John Sinclair, author of Guitar Army and It's All Good, writer and columnist about hemp at Counterpunch and many other places, and the subject of the John Lennon song, John Sinclair. So happy birthday, John, former weed prisoner. And present-day weed prisoner Dana Beale, who had a heart attack after his sentencing, is going to be the subject of a film, a documentary called Antigone, which we will keep you posted about and want to support. And let's see, it's John Lennon's birthday next Sunday night, alias International Peace Day, Columbus Day, fuck that. Who wrote that? And if you're in Philadelphia, never even acknowledge when they changed that fucking street from Delaware Avenue, which it still should be called, to Columbus. That is fucking insane. Anyway, we're going to get started. Another shout out to...
I'm just happy to have a street sign in Philly. I'm sorry. I had to interject.
That's true. You look at the positive. That's what I love about you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Shout out to Occupy Wall Street and Occupy a whole fucking slew of other places. It is expanding exponentially. And we have links so that you can keep up with that at reverendbookburn.com. Hello, Occupy Wall Street, and thank you for what you are doing for everybody, including the people who are too dumb to appreciate what you are doing. One last plug. Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine and a lot of other magazines, and the person who put out the Palin porn tape, Who's Nailin' Palin, which is 5 stars easily. There's 4 of them, but especially the first one, Who's Nailin' Palin.
She's all about job creation.
She certainly did that.
Porn videos will definitely get more jobs out there.
Yes, it does stimulate the economy. And it is a cause for growth. Larry Flint is back in the news, offering $1 million for anybody who has...
Can get him up. No, I'm sorry.
No, that's a lost cause since he got shot. But that part of the economy is not going to grow. But if you had a scandalous pass with the current psycho governor of Texas, I think you have to be a psycho to be the governor of Texas. But Rick Perry, the delusional guy who talks to angels that fly in front of his face and belongs in a psychiatric hospital. If you have a verifiable naughty history with married Rick Perry, star of the American Christian Taliban and corporate America, representatives in government, Larry Flint will give you $1 million. No, shit.
What constitutes verifiable?
Well, the people who exposed the people in the Flint Report and the people who outed Senator David Diaperman Vitter and the like, they somehow proved that their claims were true.
Okay. Come stained dress. Like, I'm just trying to get it straight. I'm really in need of money.
I'd like to know how they...
Yeah, let me know when you find out.
How they verified it.
Because if he's that loony, he won't know the difference.
Well, I see the wheels are turning. But, you know, the best way to scandalize one of these, like, Christian supremacist, family values kind of lawmakers is to actually do it. Oh. You know, they're not really sex negatives.
Would you buy me a ticket to Texas?
I would. I would fund...
I'll cut you in on...
I would fund you...
What's he look like? Let me Google him.
He looks as crazy as he is, but not as bad as far as Nazi fascists go. You know, he's like, you know, slick hair, 40 or 50 something. And
he's probably on Match.com.
Like, he's not McCain, you know. It's like, you know, or who's that other goon? Oh, I'm blanking. But he's not like those guys, you know. He's closer to Vitter.
Okay.
You know, the guy who paid the DC madam to have her sex workers put him in a diaper.
Oh, fuck it. I'll put a paper bag over his head. Who the hell know the difference?
Right. Just pretend he's one of the guys from the Sex Slaves band. Or, you know, or one of the misfits. Ozzy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That'll do it for me.
To get you in the mood. And then you can nail Rick Perry. And then you can collect $1 million from Larry Flynt. And I would happily share that with you.
Thank you.
Stop
doing all the work.
Do that. Well, yeah, I mean.
Where do you come in other than the ticket purchase?
Well, I could also help set it up.
Okay.
Say, hi, Rick. You know, I'm from the Christian Coalition, and I'm Reverend Bookburn, and I want you to meet somebody very special. And then, you know, this is a future show.
Go ahead.
Do you know how to reach
Larry? I don't think he'd buy it. I don't look too Christian-like.
Well, we just need the right outfit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, the Pat Boone daughters.
Okay.
You know, and...
I'm not cutting my hair.
No.
I'll put it up in a bun. How's that?
Yes.
Yeah, that. There you go. That'll probably turn him on.
Take it in the bun for the cause.
Glass.
It's a that's dedication.
Okay. Hell, dedication. I'm just looking for that $1 million.
It's still dedication.
It could take forever before Tim Sabian hires me. No one knows who that is.
I think he would like it. Who is Tim Sabian?
Tim Sabian is the program director of the Howard 100 channel on Sirius XM. Howard Stern, of course.
Okay, you're going to end up there.
I certainly hope so. I may be mopping the floors, but hey, at least I'll be in the compound.
But that's how the Partridge Family started, and it worked.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And if you remember, they ambushed the guy with the tape in a men's room stall.
Nice, okay.
Senator Larry Craig style.
You know, every time I've been up to the Sirius building, strangely enough, in the bathroom, in the ladies' room, there's always left, like, remaining just random pieces of lingerie laying around. One time there was a brassiere. Another time there was a pair of panties. I'm not making this up.
Wow.
And this is also the lobby for other Sirius shows, so I don't think it necessarily pertains to Howard Stern's show. Although, then again, but...
So, for those who are on a budget and don't want to go shopping for this stuff...
Get yourself up to the Sirius building.
Find a way into that bathroom. And that'll work. And then you can nail Rick Perry.
Set that up for me. Go ahead.
I will try, if you're willing to do it.
$1 million, you better believe it. I'm not attached right now. It's not like I'd be cheating on anyone.
That's right. You can't cheat on your hand.
Who knows? He may want to marry me.
Mrs. Perry.
Oh, no. I've already exposed my breasts online. I probably cannot marry a politician.
Well, I don't know. What's his name? Governor Sanford in South Carolina. Also, a family values, morals, mm-hmm. sex negative posturing hypocrite. Declared his mistress to be his soulmate.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to his wife? She probably had cancer.
She got really pissed off.
Oh, I thought she was another one of these situations where, you
she's
know.
Leaving him. Oh, that was Newt Gingrich. Yeah, served divorce papers in her hospital bed while she had cancer after cheating. My guest, if you haven't guessed, my first guest is the wonderful... Now fellow broadcaster on Volta Radio, past guest, dear friend and book burner, Lolo, who just might be in a sex scandal with
Texas. I love the music, Rick. The Buzzcocks, the Buzzcocks. That's definitely a party in your pussy.
It is. It just gets those kinds of glands.
When I think of Buzzcock, I think of my vibrator.
Your Bob, your battery-operated boyfriend.
Yes.
Yeah, the Buzzcocks are famous for that, for buzzing and getting people aroused. And their music holds up all these years later, umpteen reunions later. You now are a fellow broadcaster at VoltaRadio.com.
Yes.
So, three shows so far.
Three shows under our belt. And we are scheduled to do our fourth Wednesdays. We are on Wednesdays at 9:30, which is a little bit late for some of our listeners, but a lot of people are telling us they're catching us on the replay, which is available on my website at loisbierak.com.
Okay, well, and that's East Coast time.
Yes, I'm sorry, that's
USA.
East Coast time. I'm glad you mentioned that, because there was someone who inboxed me from the West Coast and asked me when, you know. It surprises me, as much as I promote it, unfortunately, Facebook is my only means of promoting the show right now. And as much as I do promote it, I still get posts and inbox questions with, when is the show on? Where can I hear the replay?
That's going to be always
bizarre. And, you know, I feel like I take enough criticism for the multiple posts that I put out there. And then on the other hand, I have to repeat myself because there are so many people that just don't catch it, I guess.
Now, you'll say internet radio.
Yes.
And somebody will say, can you hear it in Ohio?
Exactly. Oh, I've gotten that. You have no idea. I've gotten that so often where people have inboxed me. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't hear your show. And I'm like, do you have a computer? Even on your phone, on your iPhone, you can get it. Or I think on any smartphone, right? Through iTunes, I believe.
I believe so.
Yeah. So there's no excuse why you would not be tuning in to either the Rev Book Burn Show or the Lolo Show on VoltaRadio.com.
Exactly.
After all, there's just so much more to offer here. I mean, even the other programs, I don't know them that well, but there's just so much more to offer. We were talking about that before we came in, that internet radio, I mean, a lot of people may dismiss it, especially professional broadcasters in real-time radio or terrestrial radio, whatever you want to call it. But when you think about it, I mean, here it is free. There's all sorts of content, and it reaches an audience that, like Pastor Rex in Canada? I mean, how can you beat that?
Exactly. You build up a genuine following of hardcores.
Right.
That really dig what you're doing. And then it grows organically. You know, they tell their friends and it spreads like an alternative tentacle. So what were the shows like?
Our first show, unfortunately, got preempted because there was an electrical issue in the building.
Okay.
But by the time we had to actually do our first show, I was, of course, on the rag. It seems most of my radio appearances, I'm always on the rag. I don't know what that is, but so naturally I was even more nervous than I would have been, you know, just the first time around. Because the first time around I just had a lot of energy and I was really excited. I was really hyped and really pumped. And then by the time we were ready to do the show, having my period, of course, there was all kinds of hormones rushing through, and, you know, so I felt I was a little more nervous, but I think I'm in a pretty good rhythm at this point, and we have some really cool guests, and we're starting to get inboxed with different musicians that want to hear their tracks played. So it's really kind of cool.
And I believe at the time you were pleased with the period show, that, you know, because it went off pretty smoothly.
It went off smoothly, but I felt the start of the show, I could hear my voice. I could hear a little tremble in my voice. Okay. I felt like it wasn't, you know, wasn't as smooth as it would have been had I not had, you know, a big, giant diaper shoved up my twat.
Okay, and at ReverendBookburn.com, we have linked all of her shows, all three of them. The second show covered your history and your father's radio history.
Yes, we went briefly into one of the reasons. Well, I felt like we really needed to cover history just because if there was someone who really didn't know what I had been doing on Facebook the last 2 years, or if there were just people out there that thought, okay, this chick posts a lot of pictures with, you know, her cleavage showing and she's got big boobs, but what the hell is she doing on her? Why does she think she can have a radio show? So I felt like it was really important, and I still do for these first few shows where it's more or less a get to know you. So we gave a little history. My father was once a broadcaster. He was in talk radio. He didn't play music. He was strictly a talk radio personality, and he had jobs in Boston. He had jobs in New Orleans, and also then back in Philadelphia, where he was actually blacklisted from radio because he was framed.
I was going to ask that. He got hassled by the McCarthy types?
He was going after local politicians at the time. At the time, it was, 1960s? So Rizzo, who later became our mayor, Frank Rizzo, was the police commissioner. So there was a lot of violence and harassment, police harassment against blacks. And my father really considered himself a civil rights activist. And also, he was an investigative reporter, in many ways. And he would, find information out or get information. He would speak about it on air. And at the time, I believe Arlen Specter was our DA. And he and Arlen did not get along very well. He had things to say about Arlen. And he went after these people openly and freely. And unfortunately, you could not do that back then. Nowadays, I mean, you could say anything about any politician. And if anything, you know, it's major news. You know, CNN, you turn on, there's always someone, whatever side, left or right, there's always someone talking, you know, accusing. And back then, you just really couldn't do that. Everybody was hush-hush and swept under the rug. And my father was very vocal. And
he was brave.
He was extremely brave. Because when
fascist Rizzo.
Unfortunately, I mean, my brother and I, and of course my mother, we paid the price. Because, you know, obviously, when you grow up in a predominantly white neighborhood and you're pro-black, that causes a little bit of a problem.
Oh, yes. The four parents of the tea psychos.
Not to mention, he considered himself a socialist, and sometimes he talked against the Vietnam War on air. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of different. He had a wide variety of views. He was very, very liberal, though, very, very liberal, and. It made it tough for us as kids because, you know, we were firebombed, we were cherry bombed, our dogs were poisoned. There were times in the house where I can remember one time where I was, sitting in the house. At a later date, we had a Super 8 film processing business before videotape came. And I can remember sitting in the house and we were processing film. And we were watching television, you know, going about our normal everyday life. And then all of a sudden, you just heard this giant noise. It was like, and then the lights just shut out. And everything just went dark. And, you know, you're terrified. You're like, okay, what's happening? Are we about to be ambushed? And here, somebody took the electric meter. They pulled it straight out. So we were left without electric. So, you know, they were scary times, and you never knew when a rock would come through the window. At one point, we just boarded up every window in the house, and he refused to leave. He refused to leave that house. And the saddest part about the story is that here was a man that knew nothing else. He had nothing else going on in his life. He knew no other trade, and that's all he desired to do was to have a career in radio. And there were times when he interviewed some top, you know, very important people. He interviewed Ronald Reagan while he was an actor. He interviewed Malcolm X. So there were, you know, there were,
wow.
Yeah, so he had, you know, a pretty extensive career when it came to those that he interviewed. But unfortunately, his career was cut short in Philadelphia because of all the political backlash.
Okay, that's worth covering. That is an awesome history. And now your listeners got to be educated about that.
Well, slightly. I mean, it's difficult to kind of sum everything up in one radio broadcast. Also, while we have guests, because we also want to entertain them, we bring in, you know, last week I referenced Jack Parr, because I really feel, you know, I'm a little on the nostalgic side. That's a part of something I think that my father left behind, instilled in me, was just a little taste of vaudeville, a little taste of, you know, the old-time comedians, the Abbott and Costellos, the Mae West, W.C. Fields. I mean, this is who I grew up on. And for me, he was a really, really funny man. And I think the saddest part was that not a lot of people knew that about him, because they only knew the political side of him that they heard on the radio. And he, you know, was always... you know, the one who made, you know, my friends that came over, you know, whether when he had false teeth, whether he was popping out his teeth or he was doing double talk. So, you know, he loved comedy, and I was exposed to this. So, you know, of course, when I meet comedians, I adore anyone in the entertainment field, but I really, really have a soft spot for comedians, because I think that they are so brave to be able to go up on stage and to attempt to make people laugh, which first and foremost is so important, to make people laugh. We all need to laugh more, but to put themselves out there and attempt to make people laugh, I mean, that's talk about bravery. And I want the show to be just a tad bit of entertainment, in the sense where we open the door for comedians, and we have a show where we can have a dialogue with comedians and what brought them to that point and why are they in the business. And a lot of them have really incredibly interesting stories. A lot of them, you know, have tragedy, you know, that they've turned around. And that's what I find most interesting. So, but it gives them a platform. And then we play a little music too, because, you know, I love sharing new talent with people. And that's, you know, and I think I like my format, because it's mostly talk, but we get to introduce performers and we get to highlight comics and comedians, but yeah, we give them a little tiny taste of music too by playing one track off of we have a featured artist of the week. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
I have to ask you something else.
Sure.
But first I want to acknowledge that the woman who claims to be Sarah Palin has arrived.
Oh,
and she'll be in.
Should
later
I leave?
There's you want to miss this. And so there is partying going on at Volta Radio. When is there not? Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptist are functioning. I don't know who these dudes are. I think one guy's a basketball player.
Oh, and, sure. I like that. Didn't she have a history with a basketball player?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, thanks to Joe McGinnis, the author of the new book, The Rogue, Searching for the Real Sarah Palin. We've learned about her dalliance with an NBA star, Glenn Rice, a husband's business partner, and so much more. Coke snorting.
Wow.
And yes, oh, Sarah. So that's...
How do we know some of those kids might not even be her husbands?
I know. Well, that's just it. For Bristol to be as retarded as she is. You know, it's like...
Well, don't they have a special needs child, though?
Yes.
Okay.
They have a special needs child. That one could have been McCain's.
Right.
Well, if he could function. But, hypothetically. But, God. But that's disturbing mental imagery that'll wake me up and screaming. But
you said it.
But I did. And so anyway, there is more partying and more sexual activity to come after the second set of tunes. So last Wednesday was your third show.
Right.
Okay, how was that?
We talked about the interview that I had with Mr. Tim Sabian, the Howard 100 program director. And that was a highlight of my life, because that's when I set out on this venture to become a radio broadcaster. That was my main goal. That was the objective, was to get hired by Howard Stern. So naturally, few months, I think it was, right out of broadcasting school, when I was able to slam dunk an appointment. I mean, here I am with no radio show, no job whatsoever, no experience pretty much. And I land an appointment with the program manager. I think he's been in the radio business in the broadcasting industry for like 30 years. So here's this man that's like held at high regard. I mean, come on, Howard Stern's program manager, and here I am in his office. I mean, that was just a highlight of my life. It was incredible. So we talked a little bit about that, and we had gay comedian Joe DeLong, which was kind of fun, and because we shared some stories, of course, and it was a good time. But next week, this Wednesday, I'm really looking forward to the show, because we have Al Rosenberg, who was a Howard Stern writer for the Howard Stern Show back in his NBC days, and he also wrote for IMUS. And what I want to ask him is if he was privy to some of the racism that IMUS is so famous for. Mm. So I'm really anxious to get him in the studio. And then I have my long distance co-host coming in, Dr. Ivan.
Oh, the doctor is coming.
Yes, the doctor will be in the house.
What an artist.
Yes, I know, he's phenomenal. For those who don't know, he has done all my artwork, my posters, everything.
He did the bridge thing.
He did the bridging the gap between
awesome.
Howard Stern and Oprah Winfrey. He's done the logo for the Lolo show. He's been a blessing. Not only, obviously, as someone in business, but a friend, an incredible blessing to me as a friend.
That is awesome. Yeah, I liked what he did with the bridge, especially because you've said that before, and it's a great quote. And so he turned that quote into, a picture of those two, and then a huge U. is
with
on this bridge.
No underwear and garter finding. Stockings and garter stockings and no underwear and a leather jacket.
And then he did a U in that chair.
Did he? Oh, yeah.
He replicated
the princess chair.
Yeah, the princess chair.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking at it right now with like an iced tea glass.
Yeah, okay. There were real pictures of you there when you did the Beauty and the Beat Off show.
Right.
With me. A couple months ago, and then it seems like he took off with that theme, like the legs hanging over the arm, and very flattering, but
yes,
accurate.
He has a very vivid imagination. I never, every now and then when I'm not feeling, very, if I'm having a bad day, and if I'm out, all of a sudden I'll get a notification on my phone. Dr. Ivan has posted something to your wall, and I'm like, oh my God, what is it? And it always makes my day. He knows how to make me smile.
Yeah, excellent. So he's going to be on your show.
Yes, he's
this
coming
Wednesday
in from
night.
Out of town. So, we're just thrilled, because I had scheduled Al Rosenberg to be in, because he was one of our very first guests. Well, he phoned in the first show. And that was just a thrill, because that was a surprise. And, I knew that we would eventually get him in studio, but I had no idea that it would be this soon for our first show. So it's going to top off our month. So I'm really excited about that.
Good. Any glimpse to the future after Wednesday?
We do have a comedian named Mike Gaffney in that's kind of a little flirtatious with me, so that should be a really interesting show. I'm curious to see what he's got for me.
Yeah, because he'll have to make his effort in public.
Yes, and we shall, because he hasn't made such a great effort over the internet.
Okay, so a public suitor.
Yes, we shall see.
Well, you don't want to miss that.
I would like to have a dating game, but I don't know if we could arrange that here, if the studio's large enough where we could have a curtain and have them sitting behind a curtain.
I can visualize that happening. If everybody's in the room and that door does not open,
uh-huh,
and then you kind of have something attached to this weird tunnel-looking thing.
Right.
It looks like you could crawl through it.
I think that's the air conditioning.
An air system. Then the three contenders.
But we'd have to mic them. That's...
Yeah. We'd have to mobilize the mics, or maybe have it close to here, close to the desk. And all this physical talk doesn't mean shit to people who can't see the room, which is everybody.
I just love that old dating game.
It's doable. And the only thing is the single person, the one representative of their gender would have to be like over there,
right,
near the door with the mic.
Right.
The other three that way.
Well, then, I thought
you over here.
I could have just, the boys, my two co-hosts, Randy and Jesse, and Doctor, through photos, pick out four or three suitors, and, but that's kind of worries me. I don't know about...
Who's the woman who's going to...
Doctor would be kind of... yeah, but the other two, I don't know if I could trust them.
Who's the woman who chooses one of them?
Well, I'm saying that they would choose between... Like, say a few people wrote in. Say we had, like, four. If we narrowed it down to four. And then the three of them would choose who I ended up on a date with.
Oh, okay.
That's a little scary.
They have a say.
I gave Doctor the doc. I gave him my password to my Match.com account, which at this point, I'm just waiting for it to expire, because it's a joke anymore. But I'm using it to promote the show.
It's always a joke. My psycho ex, was always on that.
I wonder if she still is.
Who knows?
I hear so many horror stories from these men. And then there's me, like the most recent. Well, he's not even the most recent. He was somebody I met when I first got back on. He was the first date, and I thought, okay, this is it. And, like Doc Ivan and I, I've said this before. He is like my Jewish Bubby in combat boots. And, I've said to him, he knows all the sex stories. So it's like he's like a girlfriend to me. So nothing is sacred with, so I should let all my future dates know that I share all the gory details. But, not for nothing. But, this man, he could have gotten, I woke him up in the morning with BJs. And while he was doing a conference call, he would get one. I'm a really, really attentive girlfriend. And quite frankly, I think he was saving me for a side chick. I think he was really not interested in having a significant other. I think he already had one, and he just had me on the side for maybe if something goes wrong with the other. I'm convinced of that. Either that or he's bipolar, one or the other, because his mood swings were just so... And, never go out on a Saturday night. And we were still chatting, but that's just the thing. We're not actually chatting. Everything is text. And that's another thing. What is it with these guys with the texting?
That has become the prominent form of communication.
No one talks on the phone. And I'm sorry, to me, if you're not talking on the phone, then you're a cheater. Right? It's a dead giveaway.
Well, it sounds, just from what you're saying, like he was secretive. And, not to quote a tacky book, but, just not that into it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
No, it got to the point where I was like, this is just... But what I don't like is the line. Just be honest. If you're one of those dudes that just want to get laid, just be honest.
Exactly.
You know?
Why misrepresent yourself?
I guess it's because they assume that they wouldn't just get laid, so they have to, you know, they have to put up this
act.
Yeah, and it's only going to create drama in the end, I think. Not for me, because I'm not a psycho, but, I mean, why would you want to hurt somebody like that? That's what I don't get.
I will never understand that. But it sounded like the woman from the Misery movie that I described, she would meet these guys that would sound like Ted Bundy. It's like, you know, meet me on my boat. And, you know, and I'm thinking, is she really dumb enough to go on a boat, like, in the middle of nowhere, you know, where nobody can hear you scream?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You know, because it was, well, it, he knew the right bait. Mm-hmm. You know, he had, like, material, the show of wealth.
Right.
You know.
And, oh, they all should have pictures of their boats and their motorcycles and their dogs and their kids. And
yes.
They try everything.
Right. The Empire State Building. That's mine.
And I love the new, like, some of the newer letters that I'm getting. They'll either reference, they see I used to own a beauty salon. They'll either reference that they have someone who owns a beauty salon, or they were in the business or something referencing the business, which is, like, the wrong thing to say, because I hate that business makes me cringe. I hope somebody buys it and just gets it out of, off. I mean, it's not open, but I anything to do with the beauty industry, it gives me agita. And but, or now it's, oh, I minored in broadcasting in college, by the way, you know. It's like they're all referencing the broadcasting industry, you know. It's like, I listened to a transistor radio when I was 8 years old. I love that. And I'm like, dude, that's not gonna work. Like, why can't anybody just be normal, just act normal?
I was almost a rock line DJ.
Like, that's, and then there was another dude that was in the business and just didn't want anybody to date him because he was in the business. Yet he groped me within, like, the second or third meeting. And to me, it's like, well, I don't want to date anybody that just wants to grope me. You know, so you could, it's just been crazy. And, you know, a lot of people, and this is what we're probably going to talk about with, you know, Al and Doc coming in next week on my show. A lot of people could easily say, well, what do you expect to get when you have those pictures on the internet? And honestly, this kind of garbage, this kind of bullshit's been going on in my life even since I remember being 13 and having a terrible crush on a little boy. And we were on the basketball court, and he was feeling me up on the basketball at 13.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of shit that it's going to happen, you know, no matter, you know.
Well, that's the reality is, you know, You're beautiful and you have large boobs.
Thank you.
And the upside of that is it's gonna open a lot of doors. And
not really.
It's gonna make things
not
possible.
Not really. No, it doesn't.
But I didn't get to the downside.
Okay.
The upside is, you know, the world is yours.
No, that's not true now.
The downside
I have to correct
is,
you. I have to interrupt you because that is what people assume. It's actually been harder for me because of that assumption. So people, believe it or not, the few that have opened doors for me, so to speak, metaphorically we're saying, right?
Figuratively.
Figuratively, yes. I'm sorry. I just misspoke. All they care about is boobs. No, they weren't interested in me in a sexual way. They really, really weren't. And that's the truth. And, you know, so I think there are plenty of those who believe that and then will make it even more difficult. I found that to be true with comics, which is sad because I'm not trying to compete with comics. I'm trying to help them. And many of the ones that I've been around, we're not talking big-time comics. We're talking, you know, guys that are just getting started out. They've been in the business maybe, you know, 5 years or so, but haven't really established any, you know, real stardom or fame. And they're very threatened because they assume that I'm going to get the attention away from them because of the way I look.
So they feel a sense of competition.
Yeah, it's that they just feel threatened.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, and I think men in general have felt threatened, which is so ridiculous. I mean, you know, I'm practically in tears to Doc almost every night. You know, I'm like carrying, and it's, you know, not to compare myself with Marilyn Monroe, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get what she went through and why she took pills and why she was so depressed, because you have all these people telling you how much they love you and how beautiful you are and you're the sex symbol, yada, yada, yada. And yet when you go home, you have nobody to love you.
That's the downside.
Right.
Yeah, you know, nobody's real to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Yeah. Not that any of us here go through that, but, you know, but certainly, you know, friends and women friends and the like, you know, we've seen that up close, and it bites.
Yeah, it really does suck because it kills me. I mean, every Saturday I'm sitting on Facebook posting the Lolo Show promotions and you know, I have men inboxing me, oh, try to take it easy on those guys in the East Coast. And I bet you're used to getting things your way. And one guy posted, it's very rare that I post personal information. Usually it's just random crazy shit that enters my head. But I think I posted something like, I hope that my status, you know, the Facebook status changes by my birthday this year. And somebody posted, well, sorry, hon, I don't think that's going to happen because perfect doesn't exist. Now, this person really doesn't know me.
Dick.
So why would he assume that I want perfect? First of all, what is perfect?
Yeah.
You know?
Who defines that?
Right.
What the fuck is it?
I mean, you know. I could say something really mean about him, but I mean, it's like the most ridiculous, like that, but that is what people assume, and that's what people think. They think that that I'm very picky, and
I like when you do that, but you know, if you get a really retarded message, or, you know, or some of the more bozo kind of guys from Match.com, you, and you posted messages, I laugh because I'm thinking, who sat there to think up writing this patently absurd statement?
Oh, we had the
and
one,
then sending it.
We had the one who posted on my wall. He was from Match.com. He posted three times. It was like a novel. And he was basically telling me that he was a challenge and that I need to stop with the boob pics and how does it feel. He was playing the big bad man, like he's going to tell me what to do, which is like, oh please,
I'm going to tame you.
Right, exactly. Like, first of all, honey, I do not want a challenge. You know, I mean, life is a challenge. I mean, come on.
I have a guess what he did. He read some stupid book by a male moron that said, this is how you get chicks. You know, you act cocky, you act like a douche, and you take control, you act like you were brought up in a cave.
Right, like, I mean, here I am, I'm all talking about empowering women, and that's why, you know, I showed nipple on the internet and all this good stuff, and he's going to, you know, try to corral me by telling me what he's going, you know, you know, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. Like, he's, you know, my father. Like, please, get over yourself. Like, you know, and it was just quite insulting, but it was fun. It was great material for the show. I mean, I get some really great emails that are great material for the show, but
now that you have a show, and you were leading to me saying this anyway, but you just said it. The crazier things in life do feed the show material notebook that will inevitably start.
Rev, I'm totally calling people out. Like this week, if I don't get my business cards, I'm totally calling out the dude that I've been dealing with in business. And this is another situation where he was flirting with me years ago, a man that I had referred to people. I got jobs. I dealt with for years and years and years. And he made it so uncomfortable because he had flirted with me in the past. So I know how he feels. And I ordered things from him and they were supposed to be delivered to my door like the other order was, and they weren't. Instead, he decided to pick them up because he said he figured I needed them faster, so he was going to drop them off. So I said, okay, well, that's great. But then he wanted to go out for a drink with me. And quite frankly, not only was I not feeling well this week, if you can hear my voice, I'm a little congested, but it's like creepy. I don't want to go out for a drink with you. I just want my car, you know, so how do I try to politely without hurt his feeling? So I'm like, well, my house isn't clean. Oh, well, you have 4 days to clean your house. I mean, this is a text. This is go. So it's like he didn't get it, you know, and he knew I wanted my cards and needed my cards. So then finally I said, he's like, when do you need your car? When do you want your cards? I said, ASAP. But prior to that, he's asking me, well, I'm available Monday night to go out for a drink. You tell me what time. Well, of course, you know, I gave him the house was dirty excuse. I gave him I wasn't feeling well, which is true. But how many different ways can I, like, get the point across? So then he decided, I contacted him Wednesday. I said, is there any way I can get my business cards? You know, before, like, I figured he's close to Center City. I'm not even sure where he's located. I figured he can meet me here. And he says, well, I don't know. Well, you know, why didn't you contact me? I said, well, I thought you were just going to drop him off my house. Anyway, this went back and forth. And, I mean, he contradicted himself about 100 times. Basically, he's holding my cards hostage. And that's a really douchebag. And then he unfriended me on Facebook. That's such a douchebag move. I'm going to, if he keeps this crap up, if I don't get, not only will I have a lawyer after his ass, just on principle, but I'll have everybody harass him on Facebook. And I will. And I referred him to so many people. That's what kills me.
Did you write something a couple of days ago?
Like, you got it. Boy, you're very observant. Yeah, that was it. That was to him, basically. Yeah. But I mean, because that's, first of all, that's another downfall. You know, because if I were a man, I would have had my cards. Because he's telling me this is a courtesy that he does, that he offers to his clients to drop them off. Well, okay, I'm a client. And then he says, well, you didn't tell me when you wanted them. I said ASAP. And I also was sick. So, you know where I live. Put them in my mailbox.
No, he's a dick.
So then he says, well,
he was mixing business with
his, he was, and he wouldn't admit it. So instead of admitting it, he got angry. And that's what usually happens. Like when these men do make a douchebag move like that, then all of a sudden then they get mad at me. You know, instead of just saying, you know what, you're my client. You're right. Whether you're right or wrong, you're my client. You paid for your cards. They're here. I'll drop them off ASAP as soon as I can or whatever, you know, but instead he proceeded to get into a texting argument with me. Like, I have, and I'm just like, and I'm on the elliptical while we're texting. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going back. Like, I'm the type of person, just get to the point, you know, and we're going back and forth and back. And I was just, bottom line, when am I getting my cards? And he's just, well, you could drive to Ardmore tonight, when he knew I had the show that night. Like, so now I'm just like, now you're just being a douchebag.
Well, since he's in the area, if he doesn't come through, the guys these two stoner heads hang out with are professional pranksters.
Nice.
So I'm just throwing that thought out there.
Oh, well, he's going to lose jobs now, because I'm telling you, I got him an acting job and he's not even an actor. I mean, I've been a really good, I don't even know if you want to say friend, because we didn't have a relationship like that. We had a business relationship. And when he did work for me at the salon, the girls, he would come in, the girls would always tease me. Oh, he really likes you. He's got a girl. I said, I know. I mean, and at one point when I was single, he asked to date me. So it was not only obvious. I mean, he blatantly came right out and wanted to date me. So naturally, years later, it just, you're making it very uncomfortable for me, dude. I don't want to go out for a drink with you. I just want my cards. Just give me my cards. Let's just have a perfect. You can tell I'm really fired up over this.
Well,
Dr. Ivan did a gorgeous job on the artwork on these cards. I mean, they're beautiful. I wish you could see them. Wish I could see them.
When you do get them, I want a couple.
I should have all my Facebook friends harass this douchebag.
Yeah, I would say one or two opportunities to make it right.
Right.
And then he's fair game.
Well, I sent him one email. I sent him two emails. The second one I CC'd to my attorney, who is a close personal friend of mine. So it's not going to cost me. And if I have to, I mean, I know the cards didn't cost that much, but to have them reprinted, find another printer when they're already paid for and done, to me, it's the principle. I would have my lawyer file something against him just to make him look like a douchebag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm unemployed. I don't have anything better to do but go to court with this idiot. But I will call him out by name on air. And I know he listens to the show. Even though he unfriended me, I know he listens to the show.
Okay. Make it right, dude. Okay. What's Sarah doing?
I just went off. She's probably douching in the bathroom.
Okay. What, Pastor Whoremaster? She's horny?
Uh-oh.
All right. Good. Let's play the second set of tunes and then let Sarah...
I'm hiding.
Oh, come on. Tell me you're not at least a little voyeuristic. All right. Sarah Palin is here. She's partying. She's smoking John the Craptist's bong. And she's very horny. And I don't know who these guys... Who are those two old guys?
Oh.
Are those the Koch brothers? That little Coco. Okay. This is going to be fun when those people come in this room. Let's play a song for Sarah, shall we? A band called Scum. This is for Sarah Palin and her lovely former flame, the NBA star Glenn Rice. But really it's for Sarah in celebration of what she really wants when she's not preaching the gutting of reality-based sex education and adult sexual freedoms for everybody else and reproductive freedom. This is entitled Big Black Cock.
Everybody wants it, everybody needs it, everybody's gotta have it. it's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. Well, listen closely, not for very much longer. I've got to keep control. Just a jump to the left, and then a step to the right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You put your hands on your hips, you bend your knees and tie. Yeah, get the pelvic thrust that really makes you insane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again. Oh, it's so dreamy. Jump to the left, and then a step to the right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you put your hands on your hips. You bend your knees and tie. Yeah, get the pelvic thrust that really drives you insane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
I was feeling down.
Okay, Sarah, or a woman who claims to be Sarah, I want to play a song for you before we get the things underway here. I thought you would appreciate this since you listen to a lot of whacked evangelists. But I thought this would be good because of your internal conflicts. Like, you pretend to be a sex negative and a Christian supremacist and an anti-choice person, and yet you have, like, this wild life. And I thought we should take it a step further. You also listen to the craziest evangelists in the nation and represent the religious right-wing and Christian Taliban types. So maybe for balance, you could get into the song, and you can dance to it. So dance with those guys who look like the Koch brothers and that NBA guy.
Oh, Rev, what we talk about on the fishy boat stays on the fishy boat, you know.
True, but let this be...
Don't take my words out of context.
Okay, but think of it as bait on your fishing boat.
Oh, there's some bait here, all right.
Exactly, and dancing to this song will also help generate the mood, I think. You know, and it's physical, it's exercise, it's cardio. It's by the New York Dolls, and it's a song about, now don't get upset, evolution.
It's all about job creation.
Well, this is also about procreation, and it's about evolution, and maybe it goofs a little bit on your friend, kind of goofs on your friends who talk about intelligent design and other fundamentalist silliness.
You know?
Okay. Get ready to dance,
okay.
Sarah.
Okay.
This is the New York Dolls doing Dance Like a Monkey. you heard the New York Dolls doing Dance Like a Monkey, and that got the woman who claims to be Sarah Palin dancing with those two interesting-looking white guys.
Oh,
and
but that
the
big
basketball
one can
player.
Dance, you know. He can really groove.
Before that, the Chubbies did Touch Me. The Groovy Ghoulies did The Time Warp. The Adverts did Television's Over. And started off with Scum doing Big Black Cock. That also went out to you, Sarah.
Oh, and, he certainly does have a nice big black cock. A nice chubby, too.
Well, we like to play songs specially suited for our guests.
Put a little lipstick on that.
Cool. And I'm sure any of these guys would be happy to oblige that. Now, these two older guys, they look like the Koch brothers. Do you like big industrialist billionaires?
Oh, definitely, especially oil men.
Oh, yes, oil man.
Yeah, I need that lube. You know, I have had how many babies already? I've lost count.
Yeah, they don't look like each other, really.
Even better.
Tell me the truth. Is one of those kids the offspring of Mr. Oil Man?
He very well, or she very well might be.
Okay. We won't judge. What was it like screwing the oil man?
Oh, it was very good. You know, I really have to be honest. Mm-hmm. Is anyone... I hope no one's listening. I don't want this taken out of context. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband is a good man, but he just can't satisfy me. That's why I constantly just have to look elsewhere. You know, I had to blow McCain just to get, you know, just to get the presidential or the vice presidential nominee.
You just answered one of the most often asked questions in late 2008. You blew McCain?
Of course I did. Do you really think he was going to allow me to have that job just based on my history of American history or my knowledge of American history?
Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I thought it did take something extra to land that spot.
Of course.
Who else did you do around that time from the political realm?
Who didn't I do? What other way was I able to get into that White House? I mean, let's be real. Now I just want to set my sights. Look, I can't be president, so I want to set my sights on the next best thing. And that's to be the next Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
So I'm out to blow as much black cock as possible just so I could get those black voters. I mean, viewers.
Cool. Well, Glenn Rice sounded like a good start. The basketball player that was in Joe McInnes's book.
Oh, yes. He was a sweet young thing. I was slightly older than him. It was when I was a reporter.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I took total advantage of him.
Right.
But let's not take this out of context.
Okay, no, I don't want to do that. I know you say you get upset.
We don't want the loud mockers to misconstrue everything I'm saying. You know?
That's understandable.
And it's all about job creation. You have to keep that in mind. That's the only way I'm going to be the next Oprah.
Well, you figure, you know, the people who clean your sheets will have jobs.
Exactly. I have to definitely have some sort of lesbian affair with Michelle Bachmann. Because I want to get the gays. If you get the gays, then, you know,
that's true.
You're in.
And Marcus Bachmann is, you know, so closeted. You know, his anti-gay so-called therapy is a ruse.
Well, the Republicans could get me elected, so I have to take matters into my own hands.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
I think I do.
I was hoping to just give McCain a hand job, but I didn't want to screw up my cliff notes.
Did you have to do Bush?
George W. Bush. Who didn't I do?
Okay. Was he able to function?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, look at his wife. Are you kidding me? Look at me.
Oh, yeah, there's no comparison. You know,
there's no putting any lipstick on that pig.
Oh, Laura Bush looks like something from Fangora magazine.
Did you know, Rev, that I can see Russia from my house?
Really?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm a little woozy here.
That's okay. Hey, you're the guest.
Those Koch brothers. I don't know what the hell they had me sniffing while we were dancing over there, but.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's a lot of weight under your nose. Did the Koch brothers give you something for your nose?
Well, you know, it's not the first time.
Oh, Sarah. And I noticed that you were smoking from John Necraptist's bong over there.
Yes.
Okay, so I can understand.
Don't retreat. Reload.
Okay. Speaking of loads, this wasn't in McGinnis's book, but I just got to know because...
what I had to do with him too. Who do you think wanted the book out? I wanted that book out. I'm telling you, I have to make enough controversy to get myself to be the next Oprah.
Oh, it's a ruse.
Yeah, of course it is.
So you don't really want to sue Joe McGinnis.
I'm just a sex maniac. I can't help myself. Again, I mean, look at my husband. He's a sweet man, but ugh.
Yeah, kind of dorkish.
He's good to keep around. He cooks and he cleans.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good, as long as he's submissive to you.
Yes.
And while pretending to be the master Christian supremacist male ruler.
But I prefer a nice, big, black basketball player.
I heard that about you. Tell me the truth. Did you ever lick asshole with one of these men you had affairs with?
Of course.
Okay. Bush?
Bush. Oh, God. Bush, look. Bush did his best to give me oral sex, but, you know, my pussy just wasn't having it.
Yeah. And I can't see his face.
No. It didn't work well.
Sorry, George W., but did you lick his ass?
I guess he doesn't have much practice.
Okay. Did you lick his ass?
No, I didn't lick his ass. I didn't really want to go anywhere the barber had been.
That's true.
His ass looks like her face.
Yeah. And his mom was there, I heard.
Ugh.
Okay. Whose ass did you lick? These guys were telling me that you were a champion rimmer.
The Koch brothers. Oh, that sweet, dark chocolate basketball player.
Oh, you licked Glenn Rice's ass?
McCain. Oh, but McCain and I, what I didn't have to do.
Who's this basketball player? Who cares?
I don't know from sports. I mean, I read the sports off of cue cards back in 1988. What do I know?
He's carrying a basketball in here. What are you going to do with that?
He might not even be a real basketball player, but he can palm my ass anytime.
Okay. Well, he's probably bigger than these guys who look like the Koch brothers, so I don't know if you want the biggest guy in your ass.
No, I'll save him for later.
Okay. He's a vaginal fuck?
Yes. We'll do the other two and just pass them along.
Okay. All right. You guys who look like the Koch brothers... What are you sitting around grinning about? Like, they don't say anything. They just sit around giggling.
Well, they didn't tell you we were in the ladies' room earlier.
I thought they frequented such places.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now they're already satisfied. Well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a good hour ago. I hope. Well, they are pretty old. I don't know if they're ready to get it up.
Yeah. I know. They look like McCain guys.
Bring that big hunk of chocolate over here.
So who was the business partner?
I gotta get that. I'm sorry?
Was he younger? Todd Palin's business partner?
Oh, Was he any good? Them, honey, I could care less. Young, old, I just need to get fucked.
Well, we are going to clone you, Sarah. Although, minus the public speaking and public office holding. Okay, who do you want? Like one of these Koch guys or the basketball player?
I want that nice, big, black basketball player.
All right. Oh, he doesn't have to be told twice.
I want that fudgicle. Oh, right. Baby. Oh.
Wow. He goes right for the vagina.
Drill, baby, drill. Drill. Drill, baby.
Shoot video of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Mr. Whitmaster, get up and videotape.
Oh, I can see Russia.
Walk right over and started talking.
Oh, yeah, baby. Give me that oil, man, in my pussy. Oh, yeah, baby. Give me that oil, big black cock. Now take it out of my pussy. I want to suck on it like a fudge popsicle.
From vagina to mouth. I hope you're filming all this.
Oh, yes. I want to be the next Oprah. I have to get this. Drill me, baby. Drill me. Oh, drill me like Stedman.
It'll be worth being accused of being a casting couch.
Yeah, baby.
Operation.
Oh, yeah.
God, he's huge.
Oh, yes. He's so big and chocolate. Oh, so creamy. Yes, do it.
Basketball dude.
Fuck Katie Couric.
Wow. This guy is like King Kong.
I'm coming. Paul Revere.
You know, Sarah doesn't believe in birth control. Basketball dude. Wow. Did he come inside you?
I don't know. It's something's dripping down. Something very creamy.
Yeah, that ain't oil.
You know. Yeah.
It's gushing, but it ain't oil.
Something's dripping down my thigh.
All right. Thank you, basketball dude.
Yes, we're not allowed
to name him. John the Crap just told me.
Your number.
All right.
Not the number on your jersey.
Leave your phone number. That's what she wants. God, these guys are so dumb. All right. Athletes.
Write it on my hand, baby.
Mega $1 million dumbasses. All right. Oh, Mr. Coke lookalike. God, I have an uncle that looks like you. All right. Are you ready for the old Coke man?
Oh, do I have to do the old man? Oh,
no.
God.
Everything on the show is entirely consensual.
Oh, God.
We respect all boundaries, but if you do
want to...
can't even
get it up, I'm going to have to lick his ass. Oh.
All right. Coke man.
Well, the one's going to have to lick my ass then.
That's only fair. We respect the rights of everybody on this show, and she has a right to be reciprocated.
And I want him to lick out the crumb of the big black basketball player out of my pussy.
All right. Coke man number one, lick her pussy. I got to tell these guys everything. All right. Coke man number two, lick her ass. I love the height of this desk. It's just perfect for this. All right. Lean over the desk. Yeah, that's right. Keep squatting on Coke Man number one's face.
Oh, yes.
You stay behind her.
Know.
Do I have to tell you everything?
You know.
Lick her ass. You'll be glad later.
Oh, my. Talk about that.
So both Coke guys are licking you.
Oh, enough.
You're so funny. You just came all over the first Coke guy's face.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't my cum. It was our big basketball player.
That's a good point. Yeah, I was going to say, I never saw a woman discharge like that.
Yeah.
That's cum. That's boy cum.
That's a nice mixture.
All right. Are any of you guys hard? Are any of you guys ready to... Give Sarah what she wants, what she asked of you.
I think you're gone. A hard act to follow.
I know. And I think
they
these guys are going
to
need help.
Me.
Hmm?
They're just going to have to fist me.
Oh, you don't want that, do you?
Oh, of course. After that nice big black cock, what else can they do? You think these old men can satisfy me?
All right. Pastor Whoremaster, get the lube.
Oh.
Thank you.
Some nice, good old Alaskan oil.
Alaskan oil. Now, how's that for product placement? All right. God, you are beet red. You really did come.
Yes, of course.
When basketball dude.
Oh, yes.
All right.
I told you. I tried to get
those?
The Oprah viewers.
All right. That's the Coke guy with like the... the hair parted to the side kind of look.
Do like you have to revive me what he looks bed. Like? Oh, yeah, I'm trying to get a different visual.
That's right. You know what? Face the ceiling.
Maybe I could get some. And there's fancy on. I want to open my bag. Maybe I could get some lipstick. Put it on.
All right.
Turns me on.
Whoa. You're supposed to be licking her ass. Get your dick out of her face. She's not ready for that. You should be
smacking.
Yeah.
Little penis.
That's like the dumbest thing in porn, too, when they do like these stupid slap gestures with their dicks.
Oh, no, I love it.
You do? You
like? Yes, I could play submissive, too.
I never met a woman who likes
it. Oh, of course. I love it.
All right. Coke dick slapping on the woman who claims to be Sarah Palin's face.
Come in my face, baby. Come on. Reload. Come on, baby. Come on. Drill it. Drill it. Screw me. Right. Shoot
I don't believe he's
face.
Grinding your face. All right, you're going to get a facial. Yes, suck him. Otherwise, he'll never come. Right. Suck that coke dick. After all, they are the guys that gave you the white snow. Right. She is sucking coke cock. Cock coke. No, coke cock. She's sucking coke cock. Right. Coke sucker. Wow. All this porn talent. You're better than some of the ones who are in porn. Did you swallow the cum? Wow. Some of it's on your face. I can see it from here.
Did I tell you I could see Russia from my house?
Really? What does Russia look like?
It's big and red.
All right. Is other guy, is other coke guy still using his fingers? I can't see on the other side of the desk.
Something was
what are you doing
there.
Down there,
I don't
coke
know
brother?
What the hell's in there? What is he doing?
He's trying to do. He's trying to get as many fingers as.
Oh
he can.
Yes, this is my ass, baby.
He's in your ass.
Oh yeah, I love that.
You
he's
do anal?
Fish. Of course, I do anal.
Wow.
Are you kidding me,
Sarah? We hardly knew ye.
People call me a big ass for nothing.
You earned the name.
Yeah.
I know what he wants to do. I can tell by the way he's standing up. He wants to put it in your ass.
Oh yes. Okay.
Right. Lube it again. Don't just go sticking your dick in there.
I don't feel it.
Lubricate her ass first. You don't feel it?
No.
He's in your ass.
He's got a small dick, honey.
All right.
It's just like my husband.
They might be the biggest on the financial block, but now these guys who claim to be the Koch brothers are...
Small dick brothers.
That's sad to hear. No wonder the T-psychos like them.
Yes, the small dick.
All right. Is he still in there?
No, I don't know. I can't tell.
Coke brother, dude, are you still in there? In Sarah's ass? All right. Well, show some enthusiasm.
It
kind of feels yeah, it looks like he's just doing it because we told him to. Yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah, that's right. Nice and gentle. Oh. Don't act like a maniac.
It kind of feels like a suppository.
Yeah.
What's that basketball?
Come on, needle
again?
Dick. Yeah. Oh no, he should be able to get it up again. He was the first to come.
You know what I really think is so hot?
You would take the basketball
when
dude in your
first
ass.
Met my husband before he just became a big boar. He used to smack my ass with the fish that we caught right off the boat. I just love that.
That's so beautiful.
Oh, that sound, that smacking sound.
What was his business partner like? Was he better than Todd?
Oh, everybody was better than Todd.
Wow. I can't believe you can talk while a guy is in your ass.
Of course I can. I'm
he must be
like
a pencil dick.
I can barely feel. It's like a jelly bean.
All right. Dude, come already. If you were in porn, you'd be fired.
I think he's trying to show off.
He wants to upstage the other one. All right. I hear him moaning. Okay.
Come on, old man.
You can't even tell he's coming in your ass.
Yeah, shoot that. Well, drill it, baby.
Mr. Little Dick.
Drill it, baby. Come on.
Hey.
Come for Sarah. Come for Sarah. Come on. Come for Sarah. Come on.
All right. You feel better?
He ought to.
You just came in Sarah's ass and you're looking like, what do I do now? All right.
Is there hair and makeup hair?
Oh, man. They pulled your hair.
It's all in my hair. I've got comb in my hair.
The face. You're going to be pissed off when you look in the mirror.
I know. I can barely see out of my glasses.
Yeah, I know. This was definitely a glasses cum shot and a facial.
Of course. I don't have sex without my glasses.
You are just like Lisa Ann when she played you in Who's Nailin' Palin, which is a classic.
Well, you know, I instructed her exactly what to do. That's another.
You helped.
Yes.
You consulted. That's awesome.
Like I said, I'm trying to become the next Oprah. I need to do whatever I have to get viewers.
Well, that Lisa Ann made you famous forever when she did the Who's Nailin' Palin series, especially the first one.
That other skinny blonde bitch got famous after a sex tape. What do you think? I'm stupid?
Yeah, that's true. From a marketing point of view,
you did a slam dunk. And again, it's all about job creation. We have to get people back to work, and we have to reform healthcare. The only way we're going to do this.
Well, Lisa Ann has a job now, thanks
to
you.
Exactly.
She came to Philadelphia, but it was a Friday night, and she couldn't stay through Sunday to do a show. But
and all the people who produced the tapes and sold it.
Yeah.
They're all jobs available.
That's right. You helped Larry Flint provide jobs.
Yes, I do.
That is so beautiful.
No one can say that I'm not a good American.
That's true. You took it for the country.
That's right.
Okay, do you feel okay? Do you feel tired?
Of course I do. No, I'm not tired. Are you kidding me?
You took a load in your vagina, you took a load in your ass, and you took a facial.
I'm strong like ox.
Okay. Are you happy that we had a party and orgy?
It was wonderful. Thank you. I'll have to be back real soon.
You are always welcome on the show.
Just don't take my words out of context. I don't want to hear this later and find out that you did that.
I will never do that. In fact, I don't even know who you're referring to. I know you always say that, but
the loud mockers, of course. All the loud mockers. They take everything out of context. Those people who just shout things out at the audience at me, and then they expect me to understand and be able to repeat and answer questions without my cue cards.
Okay.
It's not fair. But, you know, once I have my own talk show, I'll have cue cards, so I'll be fine.
Is Africa a country?
Yes.
Is Canada a continent?
Yes.
Okay. You're doing fine. You do. God, I adore you. All right. I'll tell you what. We'll let you clean up. We're going to let Ms. Terry tell us about Dr. Laura Hoare. And then, do you want to help us do Asshole of the Week?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right. I adore your John the Craptist or Pastor Hoare Master.
I gotta go douche.
Get her wet wipes and stuff. The things we use on the Spanksgiving shows. Oh, yeah. We're doing a Spanksgiving show in November, just for your knowledge.
Oh, I'll be there for that, too.
Okay. Yeah. We're getting ready for Asshole of the Week Awards. But first, here is Ms. Terry.
Hi, y'all. This is Dr. Laura Hoare, and I want to talk about our Santa teabagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These transfer to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own teabagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our teabags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting teabagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the teabagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail teabagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up as well as a main recipient to Asshole of the Week. Sunday, October 2nd, 2011, John Sinclair's birthday. At VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. Our runner-up to Asshole of the Week, even though it may seem premature, but he fucked with a friend and a book burner, is Jim,
the business card maker.
The business card maker from Ardmore.
Well, he's not from Ardmore, but that's okay.
Okay, from the west of Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania. Jim, the card maker of Pennsylvania, has, as you have heard on tonight's show, fucked with our guest, our first guest, Lolo, of the Lolo Show Wednesday nights, by who goes by the name of Jimmy Love, by refusing to deliver the business cards paid for by Lolo, and has a little bit of time to correct the situation before the listeners of the Lolo Show and the local circle of book burners are unleashed. Enough said. That is the runner-up to Asshole of the Week, and that means that we need a special recipient, one who can even outshine the runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that is no small order. Tonight, our very special recipient of Asshole of the Week is... Hey, what happened to the fart sounds? We need fart sounds.
Last night I could have given you real fart sounds.
I want that someday. I want you to fart into it.
I need to get a recorder.
I know, you posted about your farts.
You're loud and proud.
You can make oral fart sounds.
Nothing's like the real thing.
Hey, someday I'll talk you into that. Alright,
let's get back to the Marlins.
I have to pee, so if I tried fart to fart sounds. Now, I'd probably pee.
Alright, here's Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
I wish you would do the live oral fart sounds someday.
I'm going to leave them in your voicemail.
So I'll hold you to it. Tonight, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio4All.net, Asshole of the Week is the New York City police officer who was on the news when the corporate media did decide to start showing Occupy Wall Street by running up to penned-in, trapped, peaceful women protesters so he could run up to them and shoot pepper spray in their faces, obviously not knowing that he was being filmed. And yes, any other PD member who was abusive, excessive, and part of the problem are also assholes. But there needs to be a special recognition for the sadistic, misogynistic asshole who took great pleasure in having them trapped by those stupid, you know, cage-looking things, and then running up to them purely to be a bastard. They were not a threat. They weren't people who were moving. They were trapped. They were no danger. He was a bully, an abuser, and probably is an abuser everywhere in his life, like so many of them are, and a public trampler of the rights and dignity of the people. Officer Pepper Sprayer, you are Asshole of the Week. And now, I want to kill the fart sounds. And, okay, you didn't hear a whole set. You just heard Ms. Terry from Radio Left doing, RadioLeft.com, doing Dr. Laura Hoare, the 2009 version, and we couldn't get Lois, alias Lolo, to do the oral fart sounds, but maybe
I don't want to stick the joint up.
Okay, but can't you just...
I took a really nice dump today, though.
Okay.
It's worthy of mentioning.
That's good news. But, I mean, can't you do it with your mouth? Like, you know, like the... Thank you. Now... Next time, and I hope there is a next time.
They're going to be on your voicemail.
Good.
And then you can make them your... you can designate it my special ring.
But someday, I want you to do Asshole of the Week with me, and I want you to do the fart sounds live.
How am I supposed to save up my farts for the show?
No.
I mean, that would be real talent.
The oral fart sounds.
Oh, okay.
Although I would... If you do real ones, that's even better.
You better bring some spray. Some Febreze. It'll be like that new Febreze commercial.
The spray is worse. I don't do spray.
Somebody emailed me and said that they had my profile picture as a wallpaper for their phone, and now you can have my fart sounds as the ringtone for your phone.
I'd like that. It would be a little hard to explain at work, but...
just go, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
On the other hand, it would get everybody away from me. Yeah. Yeah. I got to take this. I would like it, even if nobody else does. Okay, Lolo is back with us. The woman who claims to be Sarah Palin has left. She's... I think she's still in the bathroom scrubbing
that busy twat.
Yeah. Well, also, she has to scrub the makeup and the cum off her face,
yeah,
which she was a little mad about. And
Yeah, it was all over her glass. Oh my god!
That was a prize winning glasses splat scene. You know that? Yeah, I know. I'm going to make the Bang Brothers jealous. And we got it for free. We didn't even have to pay her. And the guys who claim to be the Koch brothers, who do look like them.
Maybe we'll get that $1,000 from, or no, million. What was it? A million dollars. $1,000 from Larry Flint.
Yeah. Well, if he would pay $1 million to scandalize an asswipe like Rick Perry.
Right.
Then what would he pay for Sarah's? To scandalize the Koch brothers?
Oh, I thought you meant Sarah. But
no,
apparently
so Sarah's
she's open
scandal.
About it. She's apparently open about it. She wants that Oprah gig.
She was literally open about
it. Yeah, she was wide
amazing.
Open.
She was wide open.
From all orifices.
Yes. I was impressed that she could converse while taking it in the ass, but then it was one of those little Koch brothers.
Right.
So I guess it wasn't any big deal. Because, you know, usually, like, in porn, you know, like, they're making sounds. Of course,
right.
The guys look like fucking Donkey Kong.
Well,
but, you know.
I mean, did you get a load of them? I mean, come on.
Yeah, they look like a...
Shriveled.
Yeah. They have McCain dicks.
It's like one of those baby sweet jerkins.
W dick. You know, it's like, okay, get ready. You know. Here I come, baby.
I could totally picture Sarah between McCain's legs. His pants down around his ankles.
I can't believe she licked the assholes of those guys. McCain
hey,
and Bush
well, you know,
and the Koch brothers.
She wanted to get that job.
She wanted to go places.
Yeah.
And it worked because, she got to tour and speak to, like, the T-psychos and Klan types, you know, and, raking the dough. And what the fuck does McCain do besides jump up and
probably
down along the border?
Probably sold a lot of books.
You know? Yes,
well, she
books.
Must have given him a heart attack.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's why he stays out of the spotlight, because he can't, you know, it hurts him too much to look at her. Because she moved on to other old men like the Koch brothers. You know, and...
She's an opportunist.
She's an opportunist.
It's all about job creation.
Yes. But we did have to bid adieu to the woman who claimed to be Sarah Palin. We had to bid adieu to the men who claimed to be the Koch brothers. And we never did get the name of that
basketball player. I wonder if it was a 76er.
I don't know. I don't know.
What color was his jersey?
And it looked like... It was like... What, God, I can't even think. I guess it was like a dark blue or something.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't pay attention to sports.
Me neither.
And couldn't care less about them, except football, because I want the Eagles to lose and I want Michael Vick to get hurt.
He could have been the bus driver
time.
For all we know, who just happened to have a job.
Oh, pretending to be. Well, because Sarah believed that he was a basketball player, she took his massive black penis.
Yeah, I'm so happy that Vic got hurt. That is awesome.
And you know, we prayed for that.
Well,
on the
I
last
knew
show,
you know what
so
I knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable, really.
Yes, in honor of all the dogs who were lost from him, not much, but a little tiny taste of justice.
People will just sell out their parent. They'll sell out their mother for football. Football fans are insane.
It's true. Well, and also, you know, they'll forgive anything.
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
Yeah, that is a horror beyond words. You know, and that asshole is loved because he can throw
or
a fucking
won't,
ball.
Or won't. Like, I bought a book on a young man. I don't even, like I said, I don't know football. I have no clue. Christ, I can't think of his name now. Tim Tebow. Very young man. I don't know what team he played. Actually, I think he plays with Florida. I don't know. Anyway, apparently he's, like, widely hated.
Well, it's not him so much as his whacked out mother.
It's him.
Like,
because I say to people, what is it that you don't like about? These are sports fans now. These are men.
Oh.
And it always does blow my mind that they'll get into an argument about this, because it's not even worth arguing. I'm just curious, you know.
Well, I don't know why the football crowd hates him, but you know, he became famous when his wacko mother, you know, was endorsing like really crazy religious leaders.
Well, he does. But when you take all that, but see, here's my point when you compare him with Vic. Here's a kid, because I actually am 3/4 of the way through the book.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't believe in any specific God. I don't, you know, relate to any
not even
specific
Santa Claus?
Religion. I believe that the word God is assigned to the love and the goodness that's within us and the energy that's within all of us. But anyway, aside from that, if people have a religious view and they're not, you know, obnoxious about it, it's their business. And this kid is like 20, I don't know, maybe 25 or something. And he's achieved a lot in his, you know, short career. He won the Heisman, which I don't really know what that means, but it's something that's really important.
It sounds important.
Right. I know it's important. And I don't know what you get it for. I meant
it's like
to Google
an Oscar.
That. I don't know. Right. The Oscar.
He's a good actor on the field.
I don't think it's for like being Miss Congeniality for the, on the, I think it's for, you know, actual achievement in sports. But anyway.
One would guess.
The thing is that I got interested in him because I saw an interview on Kimmel because I thought, oh, this is just such a bright young man. And, you know, I'm curious to see what all this controversy is around him. So, because he mentioned it on the book that he wanted, you know, to write this book so people would know from his, they would read it and they would hear, you know, dispel any untruth, whatever it was. So he didn't really clarify what it was the people said, but he said he wanted them to hear it from the horse's mouth. So I bought this book.
Well, and oh, go ahead.
I find, and he has this beautiful story about him and his dog, and how he basically nursed his dog back to health from death.
Oh, that's cool.
When the vet basically gave up on the pet, and I mean that had me in tears. And he has like this incredible strong work ethic, and a lot of it is revolved around his faith in God. Okay, so what? Big deal. Is, you know, my whole thing was is that he used his faith in God as a reason to work harder, be smarter, be nicer. I mean, it didn't matter if he did it for the love of his parents, whatever it was that made him a better person, work harder, like I said. I mean, he's incredible what he achieved at an early age.
Well, nicer, being humanitarian and loving animals are cool stuff.
Totally. And I mean,
his mother is the problem. She supports the beyond obnoxious religious leaders like Reverend Dobson.
Right. But that's not what they're referring
to.
I guarantee you, if you ask these dudes are talking about his performance on the football team.
Oh.
And that was the point I was making with Vic, is like, when do we teach our children that, you know, it's based on...
Do we have children?
It's not... No, not my children.
Oh,
but, like, the content of your character and not of, you know... Because here's a dude that killed dogs for a living, for profit, basically.
Not for a living. He was already rich.
Not earlier. He was in a lot of trouble here and there, no?
No, he had money. He just...
Before he became the Michael Vick... Okay.
Yeah, he chose to use his money.
So, for profit, and, you know, also for pleasure, obviously, it was, you know, recreational for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people are wearing his jerseys and cheering for him. And here's this other dude who's led a very good, clean life and works his ass off. And just because they don't like his performance on the field... Oh, he's a terrible person. That would be like me saying to, you know, somebody who works as a bus driver, you suck as a bus driver. So you know what? You're a really horrible person.
Yeah, or Justin Bieber. He's like a horrible entertainer. So
right. So should we automatically say he's a horrible person? I mean, that's what I'm telling
you.
These are the arguments that I have with these dudes. And I'm like, why? I don't even want to argue with you. I'm just curious. Why? Why do you not like Tim Tebow? And they go off about football, and it's just amazing. They'll sell out their mother, football fans. It blows my mind.
I don't get the appeal. But I could see, understand somebody playing a sport, like with their friends.
Right.
But watching other people do it, it's like...
Some of it is fun. Football, I just never
boring.
Got into. When you go to a game live, it's fun, like a hockey game because it's fast. Basketball can be fun because it's fast.
Well, Sarah taught us that.
I like wrestling.
That guy was dribbling before he shoots. Wrestling is entertaining. That's more entertaining than a real sport.
Right.
You know, that's
very entertaining. It's fun to watch.
Theatrical.
Just strategy. It's fun to watch their strategy. I know, that's crazy.
So Lolo,
yes,
is going to be on this Wednesday night at 9:30,
yes,
East Coast time, USA.
Yes.
At voltaradio.com for the fourth edition of the Lolo Show.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, and which is preserved by the great Pastor Rex Cat.
Yes, thank you again, Pastor Rex.
And tonight's show is likely to be uploaded within a week, barring technical problems, at Radio For All, Radio Numeral or Radio Numeral.
Pastor Rex never has any technical problems.
No, we've been on a streak. Like, it's been like every fucking show.
Yeah, we've been blessed.
Yeah, it's luck. It's total luck. And this new equipment and his great stuff. So we're expecting it to be up at radioforall.net. October 2nd show, Party and Orgy with Sarah Palin, with special, beautiful, wonderful, delicious guest, Lolo.
Aw, thank you.
And the next show of The Reverend is in is 3 weeks from tonight, October 23rd.
Wow, you're taking a long break.
I am, but it's a busy-ass month. And October 23rd will
you're
be
like
the
Howard
Halloween
Stern of Volta. You're taking so much time.
Yeah, people will talk. It'll be Halloween 2011, a celebration of Halloween.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Weed. Yeah, it'll be good. We always do a good Halloween show. And in November, of course, the Spanksgiving show.
That should be fun.
If we know anybody who are contenders for the Spanksgiving show.
I didn't bring my crop this evening.
Hmm.
Guess it's a good thing. There was too much going on. I didn't want it to get soiled.
Well, we'll plant that seed.
I don't want to get soiled.
Creativity for this Spanksgiving.
I don't even know if I want to sit down after that.
I can't believe she took it.
Somebody better come in here and clean this place up.
I know. Volta people are going
to
be so pissed off.
It's starting to stink a little, too. It's like, it smells like sex.
Who put cum all over? I can just see the email. You know,
come in with that special black light that they do in hotels.
Write to me, Rev Bookburn, no period in Rev, revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Website is reverendbookburn.com. Technically, it's revbookburn.blogspot.com, but it'll redirect you if that's too much to remember in your bong-induced state of mind.
And just go to Facebook and you'll find the links there, right?
Yes. Or if you were on Facebook, I am The Rev, because the Facebook Nazis will not allow Rev or Reverend to be a first name.
My pictures got pulled down just this week.
And they are censorship maniacs and assholes, but it's important networking. My name is The Rev, and last name Bookburn. And on the info tab, there's a link to Pages, the Reverend Bookburn fan site, on MySpace, myspace.com/Reverend Bookburn. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/RevBookburn. And thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Beautiful.
It was fun.
And wonderful friend and guest. And
it was lovely.
Yes. Well, it was awesome. And we will put the link to tonight's show and Lolo's next show at reverendbookburn.com. And also, in case you didn't know this, if you were at Radio For All, radionumeral4all.net, and you are on somebody's show, if you click on Lolo's show, any of them, and you'll see that there's like a kind of a highlight. Her name is a link. So it's not only does it say the Lolo Show, but if you click on that, you go to an archive page.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then every Lolo Show.
Cool.
That's what I sent you, but.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so then you'll see a list. Well, now only three, but, you know, as it accumulates, they can access it. And then when it grows to bigger than a page, then it's just page one, and what you see is the most recent page worth listings of your show.
Uh-huh.
And then they can continue beyond that if they want page two, past Lolo shows. Yes. So thank you again. Please come again.
Oh, I've come all the time.
And please be a guest on the show again.
I'll probably come later on tonight.
Yeah, with Sorry. All this buildup of tonight, how can we not go home and masturbate? Let's play a closing song. I think this is in the spirit of both having Lolo on and the woman who claims to be Sarah Palin. And really, I don't know any other track to close a show that had a party and an orgy in it. More like a gangbang than an orgy, but, well, only three, but still.
You were orchestrating all of that.
I liked orchestrating an orgy. You know, it was... that was fun, you know.
You could put that job position offered.
This should be on my resume.
Yes.
You know, it's not easy to do that.
It's not easy.
But we'll play a closing song. Yes. I have to find a way to get martyr points for that.
Yeah.
But I really don't know any other song that can close out such a show. But... I just have to play it. It's by Flipper, and it is entitled Sex Bomb. Good night, Lolo.
Good night.
this song is dedicated to a special kind of person. The kind of person who's hiding under rocks and in closets wherever you go. Hiding behind the guise of respectability. The cowardly journalist who hides behind his typewriter, exploiting people who can't fight back. The assassin who strikes people by surprise. The sicky sadist who hides behind his police badge to commit crimes of violence against other people. Whatever role they're playing, these creeps are always the same. Because a pig is a pig, and that's that.
Like you. It is morning here, so there's no news to speak of yet. But there will be. It's clear as crystal that the root of all evil is exactly that. And those in whom it is blooming are the enemy of humanity. The bankers are the problem. The bankers manufacture recessions and depressions to exert a greater control over social and political structures. The bankers create and finance the wars on both sides of the conflicts. The bankers orchestrate famine, poverty, and want. The bankers control the policies that control the media and the education system that is operated to maintain ignorance in the public so that they can be shorn like sheep. The bankers launder the drug money and keep drugs illegal. The bankers are the problem. The international banker is the scum of the earth, and they have to be brought to account. What will accomplish this? There are several possibilities. One of them is a real run on Wall Street, where the public goes into their offices and dispenses frontier justice on their person. The other is some kind of cosmic intrusion of forces that I won't begin to speculate on. And the other is some kind of financial miracle in which they actually wind up broke. But I don't know how something like that would work. The most likely is a combination of the first two, where the second channels through the first. Once the cost of food, lodging, and fuel hits a certain point, the public will be universally galvanized by the force that builds up from the pressure of their asses against the wall. We can be there in a few days. Once the system begins to collapse, it will have its own speed of free fall, and things will move at a spectacular rate of change. It will be like the way weather can suddenly transform in the South Seas. At the point when this begins to occur, the probability of global conflict will accelerate to maximum thrust. This is the primary truth about imperial currency activity. When the money goes south, violent attention goes east. Yes, maybe it will all just limp along on crutches while plastered with band-aids, but that goes contrary to the mathematics. You can spread the numbers only so thinly, or you can only press them together so much, and you're going to get holes appearing in the net all over the place, or you're going to get implosion. Do I have any idea what I'm talking about? It is possible that I do not. There's an area where allegorical poetry gains a mystical influx of metaphysical certainty that is no different from the theoretical physics, where theory is just another word for things we don't want to accept as inevitable. Maybe freedom's just another word for no one left to screw. It stands to reason that sooner or later, the public will have no further option but to declare open season on the bankers. They'll be hunted down as the be-all and end-all of everything dangerous and wrong. They are a plague and a pestilence as bad as any epidemic. They are the whiskey and yellow fever blankets on the reservations of ordinary life. They are anthrax masquerading as sweet and low. They are the long-standing source of the majority of humanity's problems and have little competition except for the ubiquitous presence of ignorance and impossible dreams. Whoever these bankers are, that is who they are. When the shit hits the fan, as it is going to do at any moment, the guilt of the banksters is going to stand out like zits on a beauty queen. The The transformation in the mind of the public is going to be immediate. People watch the news, and although it is nothing more than garbage and lies, the players have all been seen there. They've been seen in Congress, and they've been seen wherever the lies created to defend them have been publicized. They are a known quantity. There is no argument of any kind that can be used to generate sympathy for the bankers, who are either behind or finance every outrage against the public that is in existence. Now, their day is at hand, and they show no signs of having any kind of clue. They sit at their vanities and admire their image like Marie Antoinette. They whoop it up like Louis XVI in Versailles, surrounded by gold leaf wallpaper and sycophants, while they diddle the sons and daughters of a dying empire that they brought to pass. There is mercy to be found here, but none of it can be for the banksters who have acted with none in their intentional efforts to beggar, mutilate, maim and destroy anyone and everyone who is not them. That mercy is for the public who, like Lefty, only did what he had to do. I try to get my heart and head around it. I try to see an out for everyone, but the only out I can see for the banksters is out of our lives. And marched still living through the gates of hell, where they can reunite with the banker in chief. I'm not the judge or executioner. I'm an observer who's never had enough money to even think about the banks in the first place. Now the bankers tightly grasp what is going to turn into flaming coals in their hands. Judgment is going to cry out from the earth they walk upon and have plundered at will. That will is now going to be drained away into fear and apprehension. Their fortress walls are going to fall away. Their protectors are going to turn on them. Their holdings are going to dissolve and spill from their fingers like a handful of sand. I wouldn't want to be a bankster today, or on any other day. The existence of a system has kept them safe. This corrupt system has allowed for some kind of life for those preyed upon until now. Now it has turned upon those whose compliance has been forthcoming for so long. Soon, that compliance will be gone, and there are not enough police and armies to quell what is going to rise out of the midst. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but like everything else, we'll see.
Every chance I get, it's my girl's pussy. Seldom plays and never purrs, but I love the thought sisters, and I like it 'cause it's hers. It's my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at night, returns the break of dawn. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. I bring tidbits that it loves. We spoon like two turtle doves. I take care to remove my gloves when stroking my girl's pussy. Thank you.
right to bed. And every evening we get wet. I stroke it every chance I get. My girl's pussy seldom plays and never purrs, but I like the thoughts it stirs, and I never mind because it's hers. It's my girl's pussy. Often it goes out at nine, retrain the breaking down. No matter what the weather's like, it's always nice and warm. Oh, you're never dirty, always clean. And giving thrills, it's never mean. That it's the best I've ever seen. It's my girl's pussy. It's my girl's pussy.
In this country, and they're trying to get a foot inside the door. They make dirty movie scenes, they sell smutty magazines, and they're trying to corrupt us to the core. But we're the self-appointed censors of the nation, and we're pledged to fight our never-ending fight. We just love to get our hooks into pornographic books, and we watch a dirty movie every night. I read Fanny Hill for purposes of research, for I thought it was the proper thing to do. Oh, I studied all the topics in Henry Miller's Tropics, and I know what Lady Chatterley went through. I'm sure that these are books that could corrupt me if I got their contents planted in my head. Why, I nearly got the staggers when I read The Carpetbaggers, so I read 'em when the kids are all in bed. For we're the self-appointed censors of the nation, and we're pledged to fight our never-ending fight. We just love to get our hooks into pornographic books, and we watch a dirty movie every night.
I'm the man you see patrolling about the newsstands, and I make them take the filth from off the shelves. I cut all the dirty scenes out of trashy magazines, and I keep them in the bedroom for myself. Now calendars are sometimes quite suggestive, and they print them at a horrifying rate. Think I'll pick up one or two, and I'll keep them there on view, but it's only so I'll always know the date.
For we're the self-appointed censors of the nation, and we're pledged to fight our never-ending fight. We just love to get our hooks into pornographic books, and we watch a dirty movie every night.
Now motion pictures can be very vicious, for there's something pornographic in them all. Oh, they like to call it art. I cut out the dirty part, and I've got examples on the bathroom wall. Now there's licentious movies made for little children, and if I had my way, I'd ban the lot. Why, that filthy Yogi Bear has got nothing on but fur, and I know Snow White was just a little slut.
Oh, we're the self-appointed censors of the nation, and we're pledged to fight our never-ending fight. We just love to get our hooks into pornographic books, and we watch a dirty movie every night. It's a blessing that we're here to save the country, for we'd hate to see your morals start to sink. So just follow right along, for it won't be very long till we try to tell you how you've got to think. For we're the self-appointed censors of the nation, and we're pledged to fight our never-ending fight. We just love to get our hooks into pornographic books, and we watch a dirty movie every night.